Our first reading this evening is taken from the book of Titus, chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, which can be found on page 1199 in the Pew Bibles. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs. Having the hope of eternal life. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Terry. Let's stand for another carol as we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Seated as Rachel comes to read our second reading, the reading that comes from our gospel this evening. Thanks, Rachel.
Our second reading is from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning at the 8th verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to invite Simon to come and share his message with us that the Lord has placed on his heart. Let's pray for him before he comes. Father, we thank you for your word just read to us by Terry and Rachel. We pray that as we hear from Simon this evening that you would speak to us, Lord, that we would hear you, your love for us, and Father, our hearts and minds will be changed as we reflect on this wonderful festival of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Can I also add my welcome to you all? Thank you for coming out on this rather dank and blustery Christmas Eve. Certainly not a great deal of deep and crisp and even going on outside. The images we get of the first Christmas from our Christmas cards are a lot different from what lies outside the doors of the church this evening. The images we see, some of which may depict the reading from Luke that we have just heard, do seem somewhat detached from the reality of what is going on out there, outside in the world of the early 21st century. So, as we sit here, late on in 2023, late on Christmas Eve, is it really worth engaging with all this? Is it worth even considering this account of what went on in a quiet backwater of the Roman Empire just over 2,000 years ago? what was going on that night? Or is it just some myth? A bit like the text of the night before Christmas. Well, the importance of it all is grounded in that title up there on the screen before us tonight. Incarnation. That word is important because it means God with us. And it points to the reality of what was going on that night. It points to the reality that on that first Christmas night, this birth in the stable is good news for everyone. And it's good news for everyone because God is with us. So as we unpack that good news that God is with us, this whole idea, we must first jump back to that last question I posed a moment ago. How is the account of Mary and Joseph, a baby lying in a manger, and angels and shepherds and a heavenly choir, any different from the night before Christmas? The poem from Clement Clark Moore, and no spoilers here for any children present, was something he was writing about that he already knew was just an account of a fictional character performing an act that everyone knows doesn't actually happen. What we are dealing with tonight in Luke's gospel is a whole different kettle of fish. And I just want us to unpack that briefly before we go on. So we know the ground upon which we are standing tonight. Luke's gospel, the book containing the account we have just had read to us, was written by one of the early Christians. He was a doctor by trade and probably became a Christian not long after the time of Jesus' death and resurrection in AD 33. He became a travelling companion of the Apostle Paul, the guy who is responsible for a huge chunk of the New Testament. Luke, in fact, wrote two books, this gospel account of Jesus' life and then a second book about the origins of the early church, the Acts of the Apostles. He wrote this book we're looking at tonight somewhere between AD 60 and AD 90, probably around AD 70. And he wrote it with a very, very specific purpose in mind. And if you've got a church Bible in front of you there, you can turn to the beginning of his book and see exactly what it was he was trying to do. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke's opening tells us that what he is writing to his friend Theophilus, and by warrant of it being before us tonight, to us, is not something dreamed up on a whim. It's not a vague story that was written down 200, 300, 400 years after the events. This was the recent recollections of the first eyewitnesses of those events. Those who saw these things happened, who walked and talked alongside Jesus and the people around him. He has taken the effort to carefully investigate all of this, to write it down in an orderly fashion so his friend and we may have certainty about the things we are being taught. This is no myth. This is an account of what happened in real time, in real places, with very real people, just like you and me. So Luke tells us what we are reading in these pages of his gospel, a word which we must remember just simply means good news, is the truth about the events that happened that night some 2,000 years ago. So one more final bit of context before we get to the main deal that's before us this evening. In the rest of chapter 1, in that sort of previously in Luke's gospel bit, immediately before our reading tonight, Luke's been building up to this moment of the birth of the baby in the stable in Bethlehem. There's the announcement of his cousin's birth, the announcement of Jesus's birth, the angel coming to Mary, telling her the news that she was going to have a baby, even though she was a virgin. She was going to have a baby, and that baby was to be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And that is the great reality of the title before us tonight about incarnation, about the good news that God is with us. So, to our reading for tonight, to the main points that we're going to think about. There are three things. We're going to think about the anonymity of the birth. We're going to think about the angelic intervention telling the good news. And we're going to think about the significance of this birth. So first of these, the anonymity of the birth. Luke is very specific in the text about locations and timing. He tells us that all this happened because Caesar Augustus, the emperor of the Roman Empire, the conqueror of most of Europe and the Middle East, decides he wants to get a good count of everyone in his empire so he would know how much tax to extract from them all. As a result, everyone has to go back to their own town, and Joseph and Mary have to go to Joseph's ancestral home in Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but looking on the television, it was bad enough in the last days leading up to Christmas in the UK with people travelling back and forth, with the French port workers on strike causing havoc across the Channel. But this edict meant, in the days of what was horse-drawn travel at best, that with many, many people on the move, travel was going to be very difficult. Our two main characters get to the town eventually. Travelling with a heavily pregnant woman in those days must have been a real bundle of laughs. They arrive and there is so many extra people in the city that they can't find anywhere to stay. But eventually, there is someone willing to offer a stable for them to stay in. They accept, and there the baby is born. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. The baby is born in this out-of-way corner of this out-of-way town, in an obscure country in a remote part of the Roman Empire. Nothing remarkable, nothing notable. It could have so easily slipped into anonymity. No one needed to have noticed. But God had different plans. There is an angelic intervention again, and the good news of what has happened is proclaimed to an unlikely bunch stuck on a hillside above the city. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And surprise, surprise, they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." It's not going to be anonymous. It's not going to be missed by mankind, because this event is good news, and it is good news for all people. For all mankind. This is a piece of news that will bring great joy, and it will do that because today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. The big headline has been issued by the angel. He's told the shepherds what has happened. He invites them to go and see and test what he has said. At this point, the choir turns up and they fill the air with singing. They proclaim glory to God, but they also proclaim the good news that through this event, there is the possibility of peace, of wholeness for all those who seek out the one who is the good news. So whilst it could have gone unnoticed, and anonymous, that changed the moment the angel and his mates appeared, and now everyone is to know, all people are to know this good news. And so we see that this birth is significant. But why? Why was it significant? Well, it links back to our title at the beginning of Incarnation, the good news of God with us. You see, when the angel came originally to Mary, it brought a greeting telling her that she had found favour with God, that she shouldn't be afraid because God had significant plans for her. She was going to have a child conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was to be called Jesus. He was to be called the Son of the Most High. And that links back even further. It goes back 500 years or so to the words of an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, speaking about what God was going to do to save his people. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The child to be born is to be Emmanuel, God with us. That's who he will be. His actual name that he will carry is to be Jesus, as the angel has told Mary. And Jesus means in Hebrew, the Lord saves. The angel tells the shepherds that in Bethlehem they will find good news for everyone, the Saviour. the one through whom God will save has been born. He will be the special king the people have been waiting for. And most importantly, he will be the Lord. He will be God with us. This is the significance of the event we consider tonight. The pivotal event in history. The moment in which God entered into his creation in the form of a frail human baby and became one of us so that he can save us, can save all people. And this is the key matter for each of us to grasp this evening. This is the good news, and it is such important that good news that none of us can afford to ignore it or sweep it under the carpet. God has deliberately revealed himself to us in order that we have to make a response to that revelation. And that is what I want to lay before us all this evening. The so what of this whole event that we're celebrating at this time. How does this event that took place so long ago in this out-of-way corner of this out-of-way town in an obscure country and a remote part of the Roman Empire apply to me? Apply to you? Well, for all of us, there is firstly the certainty that these events actually happened in time and space at a given point in history in a geographically definite place. This is true. This is not fake news or the ramblings of some deranged mystic in the Dark Ages. Secondly, we must all understand this event has those cosmic implications. From this point onwards in the history of the cosmos, nothing has ever been the same again. The God of all creation took on flesh and came and made his dwelling with us. He came and dwelt with us so that we can be restored to relationship with him, the state we were meant to be in from the very beginning of time. He came and dwelt among us to deal with the rebellion we had hatched against him when we chose to follow our own agenda, the thing we perhaps uncomfortably call sin. He came to be the means by which that sin is dealt with and the life with him made possible once more. Thirdly, it requires an individual response from me. The shepherds had to get up off their backsides and go to Bethlehem to see the sign that the Lord had given them. For each of us tonight, a response is called for. We can't sit on the fence. We can't ignore the baby in the manger because God chose to go public so everyone would know what was going on. So, all of this may not be new news to you. You may have heard the news before. You may have responded to the news about the Saviour who was born, who is Christ the Lord. You may know him as your Lord and Saviour, and you may be living as his disciple day by day. If that's you, that's brilliant. So then let's be like the shepherds. Let's get on with the work we have been given to spread the good news about this glorious good news to all we encounter today, tomorrow, and in the days ahead. If this is new news for you tonight, then you have a conundrum tonight, this Christmas Eve. What are you going to do about this good news that you have heard this evening? Are you going to receive it for yourself, or are you not? This is the seemingly simple and stark choice before us. Luke's account tells us that the shepherds got up and they hurried off to Bethlehem to see the truth of the Saviour born in the stable, and they rejoiced. Will you decide to come and see for yourself? Come and have an encounter with Jesus, and when you see, rejoice. Come see the baby in the manger, but also see the man who walked the dusty roads of Israel and then died on a Roman cross to deal with your sin, but then on the third day rose again in order to open the gates of eternal life to you. As we end this evening, the one thing we must be sure of tonight is I can't sit here on my hands tonight and do nothing in response to these events in Bethlehem that night. This is the most significant birth in history, and I cannot be neutral about it. Don't go home tonight without responding. Don't go home and leave Jesus behind in the manger. Let's close by reminding ourselves of the angel's words. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Let's pray together. God of glory, we praise you that in your grace you chose before the foundations of the world to send Jesus to that place at that time to be the one who would be the Saviour of the world. Enable each of us, Lord, to find the truth in those events and to take that good news on board for ourselves and to live it in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. You might like to respond now as we turn to our creed for this evening. A creed, we often say, is really just an affirmation of what we believe.